Thank you, Pastor Bill. It's great to be with you throughout these last couple days. As Laura said, we had a little bit of interruption in our schedule on Saturday. I don't know if you can call twin babies an interruption or just a blessing. So we're excited that this is the second time I've been here. I was here 4 years ago, I think in February, 4 years ago. And it's good to be back. It's good to see some of the same faces that I saw then. And thank you for your welcome, your love. And it's such an encouragement to us to hear you tell us, oh, we've received your prayer letter and we're praying for you. And for those who are not yet receiving it and would like to, we do have a sign-up sheet in the back. And if you'd like to sign up to receive our prayer bulletin points, I send every other week, I send prayer bullet points for our supporters and our partners, prayer partners, to keep up with what's going on. I'll be sending out an extra special edition as soon as I get my computer up to let people know what's happened with the twins, because we had people praying all over the country and all over the world for our daughter-in-law for that. So we're very thankful for that. As Laura said, this last year, actually we came back in May of 2021, and so 4 months from now, 4 months from tomorrow actually, we'll be leaving to go back to Indonesia. But before we left, I served as a field director, and also we were involved in theological education and leadership development at Jaffrey Bible School, Bible Seminary in Makassar, Indonesia. And we're thankful for our, I think this is where, yeah, this is the latest picture minus the twins. The one who gave birth to the twins is on the far left. And now we have two more little ones. So this was what our whole family at Christmas time, and our youngest son right there, back there, is the one in New York City. And he's unmarried, but he is now, has a romantic interest there in New York City, the pastor's daughter. So we'll see if she has an excitement for missions. That's pretty important to Josiah, so we're just praying for that. The theme of this year's conference is All of Jesus for All the World, and this comes from Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age.'" Before we look at this and other things, let's go ahead and pray. And I'm going to pray in Indonesian. And you'll just have to trust that I'm praying to the same Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But let's pray. Bapa kami di sorga, kami sangat bersyukur dan berterima kasih atas kesempatan hari ini untuk berkumpul bersama-sama dalam nama Yesus Kristus. Kami berdoa, saya berdoa bahwa Tuhan bisa mengurapi hamba-Mu dengan Roh Kudus, dan firman ini bisa disampaikan dengan baik, diterima dengan hati yang buka, supaya Tuhan bisa dimuliakan. Kami berdoa dalam nama Yesus Kristus. Amin. This is an important motivator for all of us. Matthew 28. It is one of the last things Jesus said. And typically, when you're listening to somebody or a speaker, if you've known someone for a long time, or maybe they're about ready to be called home to the Lord, the last things that people say are pretty important. And this is one of the last things that Jesus said. And notice how many times he uses forms of the word all. All authority has been given to me. Not partial authority. All authority in heaven and earth. Jesus has had all authority. And because of his obedience as the Son of God and his mission to give his life as a ransom for many, he was given by the Father all this authority over heaven and earth. All authority. We don't have to be worried about politicians or presidents or prime ministers or other powers of this world. Jesus has all authority. There's nothing in this world that happens without his sovereign okay. And that gives me a lot of courage and comfort to go wherever he's calling me to go, and it should give us courage and comfort to send our children, to send our grandchildren, wherever God's sending them, because of the authority that is in the hands of Jesus, and he never will let that go. I love the picture in Revelation chapter 5. The call goes out, who's worthy to take to open the scroll that contains basically all of history in its writings, and no one was worthy except one. John was crying about it, and the angel says, don't cry. Look, the Lion of the Lamb of Judah, he's worthy to take the scroll. And John looked, and he saw a lamb who had been slain. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, who's the Lamb of God. He has authority. All authority. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. We've been talking about this this morning. Tribes and peoples and tongues. We look at Revelation 7 and you see they're gathered from every tongue and every nation, and they're worshiping the Lamb of God. This is for all nations, not just for the people of Florence, Kentucky, Florence, Italy, or around the world. This is for everyone, every people group. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to observe all that I have commanded. Everything given to us in Scripture has authority, is true, and is worthy to be communicated, the gospel. And I am with you only some of the time. No, I am with you always to the end of the age. Isn't that incredible? That Jesus, I don't know if you've ever taken the time to really just think about this power, the power of this truth. Jesus is with us in this room right now. And he will never leave his people. He's a shepherd who loves his sheep and will never leave. He's with us to the end of the age, which means forever. And I don't know what you've experienced this past month or how 2021 was for you, but whatever it is, however we come into this sanctuary together, maybe you're thinking to yourself, what can I do beyond my own circle of influence? How can God use me, or what purpose would I have beyond my neighborhood or beyond the borders of Kentucky to fulfill the Great Commission, to bring all of Jesus to all the world? I would like to share with you how you can partner in things that have eternal value for the glory of God and have a part in bringing Jesus, all of Jesus, to all the world. There's a story in Mark 5 that really communicates well this theme. And I'm just going to tell the story. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. Just listen to what Mark is communicating and how Jesus responded to a particular man who was in need. The story goes like this. Let's just set you the background. Jesus had just crossed the sea with his disciples. He told the disciples to get in the boat, go the other side, and take him. And a big storm came up on the sea there. And water was beating against the boat. The waves were beating in. The boat was filling up. And Jesus was asleep on a cushion in the stern of the boat. The disciples came to him and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" And he got up and he rebuked the winds and the seas calmed. And he said, "Why are you so afraid? Are you still of no faith?" And the disciples were even more afraid. And they said, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" And I think the next story is the answer to that question. The story goes like this. When they got to the other side, they came to the region of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus stepped out of the boat, immediately out of the tombs, there met him a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs. And no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, But he wrenched the chains apart. He broke the shackles in pieces. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying about, cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and he fell down before him. He was often crying out and saying, "What have you to do with me, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you before God, do not torment me." For Jesus had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Now, there was a herd of pigs feeding there on the hillside. And the demon-possessed man, he asked him, he begged Jesus not to send them out of the country, but to send them into the pigs, that they may enter them. Jesus gave them permission. So they left the man, went into the pigs, and the herd, numbering 2,000, ran swiftly down the steep bankside into the sea and drowned in the sea. And the herdsmen who saw it ran into the country and in the city and told people what had happened. And many people came out to see what had happened to the pigs and the demon-possessed man. And they came to Jesus. And they saw the demon-possessed man who had the legion sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and what happened to the pigs. And the crowd begged Jesus to leave their region. But Jesus got into a boat, and the man who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. And Jesus did not permit him. But he said, "Go home to your friends and tell them what God has done for you, how he has had mercy on you." The man went throughout the region of the Decapolis proclaiming all that Jesus had done, and everyone marveled. What a powerful story of all of Jesus for all the world. What do we learn about Jesus' heart for the nations and the kind of ministry he calls us to? Jesus purposely asked his disciples to go into an area where Jesus knew they were non-Jews, where Jesus knew they were outsiders. For a Jewish person in their world was you just hung around your own people. You hung around Jewish people. You didn't hang around Samaritans. You certainly didn't hang around Gentiles, because if you even touched a Gentile, it would make you unclean and everything in your house unclean. Jesus intentionally tells the disciples, "Let's go to the other side," because he knew who they were going to encounter. Why? Because Jesus knew when he was going to leave this earth, he was going to commission his disciples to those kind of people. And he was giving them a sneak preview. These are the kind of people, the broken people, the lost people, the dirty people that you need to reach. And I'm going to show you a heart for that. We left our comfort zones and our familiarity when we went to Indonesia in 2009. As Laura mentioned, I'd been a pastor for 16 years in one town. Our kids were comfortable there. They grew up there. Three of our children were born in Toledo area. That's all they knew. And came to a completely different place. You can't get too much different when you go from the West to the East. The West, as in the United States, Canada, or England, to Asia. But we love Indonesians and we love Indonesia now. But there's still so much more we're learning about Indonesian culture, about the people. Whenever we cross into another person's culture, there will be new things to learn. I remember our first year, language school. Laura and I were, Laura's better in the language than I am, but Laura and I were learning language together, and we lived among Sunda people. Now, Sunda people are strong Muslim people, and Muslim people have their own certain boundaries and borders, just like the Jewish people had, what they eat and who they associate with. Well, we were learning language and we're following behind this Sundanese mother who was carrying a baby. And I wanted to use my Indonesian, so I said, Ibu itu ada babi. Now, that sounds pretty good, right? Babi. Well, babi in Indonesian is not the word for baby. The word for baby is bayi. Babi is the word for pig. So I said, that Sundanese woman has a pig. Sundanese women and Sundanese men do not eat pork. They don't even touch it. They don't even mention the word. Well, praise the Lord, that woman did not hear me, but Laura said, that's the wrong word. Well, I don't make as many mistakes now in language, but we're still discovering things new to learn about Indonesia. 2016, I'm turning a corner on my motorcycle, and my back wheel started wiggling and fell off. Well, if you're riding a motorcycle and one wheel goes, what happens? I went flat on my face with my hands and my legs onto the pavement and was sitting there bleeding. I felt my teeth right away because that's where I hit. They were still there. Blood was coming out. And I started getting a little shaky. I think the shock of the accident was wearing on. And all of a sudden, an Indonesian guy, I didn't know him, he just pulls up and he helps me get my motorcycle to the side of the road. I had my backpack. I was on my way to exchange $500 US. I had a lot of money in my backpack for Indonesia, but I was holding on to my backpack because my passport was in there and everything, and sat down on the side of the road, just kind of not knowing what to do. Another car pulls up. They talk to me a little bit, then they go by, but then a guy with a pickup truck comes by. This guy, I didn't know who he was. He helped get my motorcycle onto the pickup truck, and he took it to campus, took it all the way to campus. I mean, I'm sure he had other things to do, but he took it all the way to campus, and then not only that, but he dropped me off at the hospital, which was on the way. I called Laura. I said, hey, I'm okay. You know, you start a conversation like that. I'm okay, don't worry. But I said, I got in an accident, I'm on my way to the hospital. She took time to take a shower before she came. She wanted to look nice at the hospital. But I got to the hospital, and two of the people from campus, Roby and Christina, both came, and they stayed the whole time I was there. Stayed the whole time as I was getting stitched up and everything. But it made me realize, this happened in 2016, made me realize for Indonesians, people are more important than projects. People are more important than what I have to do. And you know, for me, that's not the same. I got a project to go. I can pass up quite a few people. So Indonesian, we are continuing to learn about the culture. We are continuing to enjoy it. We're continuing to grow in our understanding of Indonesia. It is a nation of over 700 people groups. In over 500 languages. There's a lot of culture to learn, especially as you travel. And that gets back to the theme of this year. Jesus, all of Jesus, for all the world, to go beyond our comfort zones, to reach those people groups who have not yet heard about Jesus. Those people who are no better off than this man who confronted Jesus on the shore. People around us, in the stores, in our neighborhood, and around the world may not look as desperately in need as this demon-possessed man looked, but they're no better off without Jesus, because without Jesus, we're lost. What do we learn more about Jesus in this encounter with the demon-possessed man? First, consider his life. His life was ruined. Talk about a broken person. He was physically a wreck. He cut himself with stones. He would cry out. Imagine the people of the town near where these tombs were, huddling in their homes, worried that this man would come knocking at their door. They couldn't bind him. He was too strong. And probably a boy or a girl, mommy, daddy, is that weird man, is that crazy man going to going to come over because they can hear him. Ah! Screaming out in the distance. And he was broken. Broken physically, broken spiritually. Up to thousands of demons were having a playground in his soul. He had no control. And we don't know what the man did to invite this kind of demonic control. That's not the important part of the story. The important part of the story is that Jesus has more authority over those. And this man, so spiritually, physically, mentally, he didn't know who he was. He didn't know everything about him. Socially, alone, was broken. In November 2020, I was invited to go to Tamika, Papua, for a church dedication service. This ministry trip included a brief opportunity to minister to this group of misplaced people, displaced people, pushed out of their homes from the mountains and forced to live on the coast. Many of them were sick. Just looking as we approached this group of people, I was with my friend Detheminus, who has a love for the hurting and a love for the physically suffering and has a big heart of evangelism. Detheminus and I approached this group, and I could tell that they were very sick. You could see it in their eyes, and as we shook their hands, you could feel the hot in their bodies from the fevers. There's a deep awareness in Papua for spiritual warfare that is really all around us, and groups like this are being pushed out of their homes because of freedom fighters, because of political conflicts, because of church division. And this has led to the evacuation of many out of their homes. But you know, this is just a snapshot microcosm of really what's happening all over Indonesia. Of people groups who are lost without Jesus and who have very little opportunity. There's not a Detheminus in every area of Indonesia. Detheminus is there ministering to this group. And many people groups, of these 700 people groups, many of them still are unreached, and no one's there to minister to their needs. No one's there to speak to them. Those who are on the wrong side of injustice, those who are on the wrong side of truth, who don't understand who Jesus is, who will be there to help them? Detheminus is only one man. Many more workers are needed both in Papua and around the islands of Indonesia to declare this all of Jesus to all the nations. What else do we learn about Jesus in this passage? Jesus has all authority and power. We looked at that in Matthew 28. The legions of demons knew Jesus' authority. Do you hear what they said? What do you have to do with us, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? That was the same phrase Gabriel, who's the name of one of my grandsons, by the way, same phrase Gabriel used when he came to Mary. You will give birth to the Son of the Most High. The demons knew who Jesus was. They had always known who Jesus was. And when they see him, they knew what Jesus can do. What do you have to do with us? Why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you in this territory? We own this territory. This is our territory. Why are you here? Have you come to torment us? I adjure you before God, they're even swearing to God. I adjure you before God, do not torment us. They knew his authority. And you notice how many times some person or some people beg Jesus for something in this passage? The crowds beg him to leave. The demon-possessed man begs him to go with him. The demons beg him to send them to the pigs. Jesus has all authority in his hands. There's nothing that he can't do. This is the all of Jesus that we declare. This is why there never need be fear when we come across a situation that's too hard, when we're facing something that's too difficult, or when we're praying for something that seems like it's impossible. Because Jesus has all authority in his hands. He's Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King. And we want to take this all of Jesus for all the nations, for the whole person. Spiritual need, physical need, mental and economic. Jesus wants the nations to hear about the mercies of God. This is the commission he gives this man. Can I go with you? Can I go? Can I be with you? I mean, we would expect Jesus there to say, sure, come on in, step on the boat, there's plenty of room. But he says, no. Go home to your friends and tell them what God has done for you, how he's had mercy on you. I don't know. We don't know. The man immediately went to his friends. We know that. But we don't know what he was feeling. You just saved me. You just totally changed my life. I want to spend time with you. It must not have been what he wanted to hear. And sometimes God's plans are not our plans. July 2019. Laura and I were serving on another island in Indonesia. Sorry. And we got a phone call. Pop Peniel, who's pictured here, had died of a massive heart attack. One of my best friends in Indonesia. Peniel was the head of our theological school. He was a great leader. He was a great president. He had a heart for students. He had a heart for Jesus, and he was growing in his excitement for missions, which was exciting to me. I had taken Peniel to India in 2013. We went together. In 2016, we went to Thailand for some leadership training. In 2019, in January of that same year, we went to another Southeast Asian country to investigate a possible mission to it. And here, in July, he dies. And I was arguing with God about that one. That was not in my plan. I had a lot more candidates I could have given God besides Peniel to take. Why would you do that, Lord? Why would you take you one of the best leaders we've got? That's why we're here, developing leaders. I've been friends with Peniel for 8 years. Why would you take him? And God didn't answer my question. He still hasn't. And I still don't know why. Peniel's gone. My plans were not God's plans. And the man who was released from the legion wanted to follow Jesus then and there, but Jesus had other plans. Go home to your family and friends. What do we know is the result of that? The end of Mark chapter 6, Jesus and his disciples come back to that same area, and the scripture says they moored to the shore, and when people recognized him, they went running throughout the region to bring their sick to wherever they heard Jesus was. And in the market, they would come to him bringing their sick on beds and begged him just to touch the hem of his garment. And the scripture says that as many as who touched him were healed. Where did those people come from? They had just earlier in the gospel begged Jesus to get out of there because they were scared to death. Now they're running and scattering all over the place to bring their sick and their hurting to meet Jesus. Why? Because of the testimony of that man who went and did exactly what Jesus told him to do. Go and tell him what God has done for you, how he's had mercy on you. That was what God's plans were for this man. And sometimes, maybe in your life, there's things that have not happened or not turned out the way you were hoping. God has a bigger plan. Sometimes, and I still don't know why Peniel was taken. God has a bigger plan. And his plans are always better. And they're always for our good. And they're always for his glory. He asks us just to trust. Daniel and Sarah live in Indonesia. They're not Indonesian. They're Iranian, Persian. Daniel was not a follower of Jesus when he was living in Iran. And he knew the Quran very well, the holy book of Iran. But someone gave him a Bible. And he began to read the Bible. And as he read the Bible, he realized, this is true. The Quran is not true. The Bible's true. He became a follower of Jesus. His wife, Sarah, was not a follower of Jesus. And they went to a church, or Daniel went to a church, underground church in Iran. One day he was going to the church, and he noticed in the street above where the church was, ahead of him, his friend was being taken by some military people. And Daniel got nervous. He went home. He got Sarah. He said, we're leaving Iran right now. And they got on a boat. They paid a people mover. And usually those people are corrupt, but they paid a people mover to get him out of Iran. And they ended up in Indonesia. Now, Daniel is a follower of Jesus now, young in his faith. Sarah was very, very angry they left Iran. But a pastor named Pastor Efer visited them. And Sarah's rather defiant with this pastor. And the pastor says, would you like, his Indonesian pastor, I would like to pray for you. Anything you'd like me to pray for you for? Sarah's like, defiantly says, I want you to pray that I have a baby. But not just a baby. I want to have twins. But not just twins. I want to have a boy and a girl. So Pastor Effort prayed that. 3 months later, she's pregnant. A couple months after that, they find out that there's twins. And on the day they were born, what do you think it was? A boy and a girl. And she became a follower of Jesus right there. You see the beautiful face of Sarah? If I had showed you her identity picture when she was in Iran, it's light and darkness. And they now are stuck in Indonesia. They want to come to America or Canada. They're stuck in Indonesia, but Daniel, whose real name is Muhammad, Daniel told me, I don't know why God has us here, but while I'm here, I'm going to tell other refugees about Jesus. Because he has an inroad to Afghanistan, Afghanis and Pakistanis who come as refugees to Indonesia that I don't have. God has a plan and a different answer for Daniel and Sarah than they had anticipated. When God's plans work out in our lives, we watch and wonder at where he leads us and what he will do. Where does Jesus call us to? Where is Jesus calling you to? Have we experienced yet the mercies of God and all that Jesus wants for us? Do we really know him as Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King? What friends and family around us still need to hear? What impossible situation are we facing in our lives or in the lives of our family where we need to remember Jesus has all authority? And where might Jesus be leading you beyond the borders of this community? I know many of you are familiar with the work of the Alliance, but some of you may not yet know, maybe new to the Alliance. For those of you to whom the Alliance is new, I'd like to briefly tell you who we are and what we do. The Christian Missionary Alliance is a missionary movement that was founded in 1886. Currently, we have over 700 missionaries serving in 70 countries around the world, driven by a passion to let everyone know about this all of Jesus, this amazing Savior that we worship to all the peoples. Through evangelistic outreach, compassion ministries, we respond to the real needs of human suffering, both physical and spiritual. But we're convinced that international workers can never reach an entire nation with the gospel. That's why, as a movement, our focus is to evangelize where the name of Jesus is not yet known. And then as people become followers of Jesus, we disciple them to become healthy churches, to have a passion and desire to see their own people come to know who Jesus is, but then also beyond the borders of their own country and their own people group area to know who Jesus is. The fruits of these more than 120 years of missionary effort is that Alliance Worldwide now consists of more than 16,000 local churches in 91 countries. There's over 6 million Alliance believers around the world now. Isn't that amazing? And 37 of our partner countries around the world are now sending, actively sending international workers to other parts of the world. It's not just America and Canada that are sending international workers. It's 37 now nations. And the CMA in Indonesia is getting ready to send its first international worker to a non-Indonesian speaking people group. And we're so excited she will be leaving within a month or two. My role this past year has been to serve as the field director of the Alliance field, helping our field serve communities, multiplying church networks, developing people. But how can you get involved? Well, I would like to ask you to pray for two people groups. If you want to know the real name, you can tell me, you can ask me afterwards when we're not being recorded. But the first people group is the B of Kalimantan. The second people group is the K of Kalimantan. These are two people groups that are unreached with the gospel for the most part. There's a few scattered followers of Jesus among them. But we would like to send a team into this area where the gospel has not really made an inroad. And we would like to do that within the next year. So will you pray for these people groups that God would raise up workers, laborers, both Western and Indonesian, to harvest fruit for the glory of God. Also, if you would be committed to pray, this is on the back of our prayer card. Pray for us for wisdom as we go back. We're not sure yet what we'll be doing when we go back, but that should be more clear within the next month. And if you get our prayer newsletter, you'll get to know what that is. But pray that we would have wisdom as we partner with the National Church in church planting, leadership development, discipleship, that Indonesian believers would respond to this passion to tell others about Jesus, not just to other people groups in Indonesia, but beyond the borders to other countries. And then transformation for Laura and I, that we would reflect Jesus as we continue to grow and be more like him. And then for family. We praise the Lord for our families getting bigger, but on the other part of that spectrum, our family's getting smaller. Laura lost her dad last November, and her mother is quite sick right now and under hospice care at home. So if you could be praying for this joy and sorrow in the same cup that we have, as I've been sharing in churches, that we're thankful to be home at this time during these family events and these seasons of life change. But we also know that we'll be leaving soon, and we just want to release them to the Lord and see God take care of them. Another way for you to partner is through giving. As Pastor Bill has emphasized, the Great Commission Fund. Your gifts generally to the Great Commission Fund go to support all workers, not just Access, but in CAMA workers like Jason and Alyssa Drummond and Envision site workers and Marketplace Ministry, which is the tent making. Your funds go to support all of those now. This is a new change in the CMA and how we fund our workers. We're excited about that. If you want to give specifically to a worker you love, like the Drummonds, or to somebody, the local international workers out of the Ohio Valley, you can do that on the website, and that will go to the Great Commission Fund, but it'll be directed toward those needs of those workers as well. So praying, giving, and going. And that is the joyful step of being able to have the privilege of encouraging you not to hold back yourself or hold back your children or grandchildren, but to release them for where God is calling them to go, because Jesus is worthy to be heard. His name is worthy to be worshiped all over the world. And that's why we go. We go because Jesus is worth it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to be together. Thank you for Florence Lyons Church and what you're doing, raising up workers right here. And Lord, we pray for the city of Florence that you would continue to create more opportunities for people to come to know who Jesus is. And for the international communities that are moving into this area, we pray that there would be opportunity to reach them as well. And Lord, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for the gospel, and I thank you for Jesus and what he means to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be back, and if you want to talk about Indonesia, I'll be back in the table after the service. Thanks.
As Andy mentioned, he has a table back there. You might want to check it out. There are things from Indonesia, from their culture there, to see and to sign up for the prayer list. Just to be clear, if they're already receiving your prayer letters, do they need to sign up again? Okay, so if you already get it, you will continue to get it. If you would like to begin receiving his prayer letters, please sign that sheet back there. And do you have more of these prayer cards?
Yeah, they're back.
Okay, so the prayer cards are also back on that table. This right here with the list of things to pray for is on the back of that prayer card, so make sure you pick one of these up. Even if you have one from when you were here in 2018, this is new and different things on the back, so you can connect that way. I want to mention, because this ties in with what you're saying, I've already indicated the several different countries and people that are represented in our congregation here, but I missed some, actually. Yeah, I thought I had them all, you know. I sat down there, and I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Oh, over here. So up front, we have the Kirshners, and Rick's sister, Dr. Kirshner, has served in places like Pakistan and Jordan in the Middle East. And Leah, of course, is sitting there. She just got back from here, Indonesia. And John over here grew up with missionary parents in China, and for a time in India as well. So we have all those different places represented. And then there's one more. It's you, North America. You are missionaries to North America. You are missionaries to Northern Kentucky and the people that you live beside, your family, you work with, you go to school with, you rub shoulders with, your children have activities together, and so those parents, that's your mission field. You are missionary workers as well, given the same charge. So we participate in all these ways. And so this morning I'm going to ask the music team to come. And you heard the challenge that was given to us, the different ways we might participate. And perhaps the Lord is speaking to you about some very specific way, a challenge that he's giving to you, something fresh in your participation in the Great Commission. And if you feel that this morning, if you feel like the Lord is speaking to your heart and touching you about something, would you come forward? And I would ask that even that you would share that with Andy, as we sing this song, would you just be available if people want to come and share with you what God is doing in their heart? That would be a way for them to vocalize that before you and before the Lord. And this could be one of those moments where you drive a stake down in the ground. This could be a turning point for you. You could say, often I've thought I ought to do this or I ought to do that. Today, I'm making a commitment to follow through and obey the Lord, because he has all authority, right? And as we make disciples, we teach to obey all the things that I have taught you. So let's make an intention to obey the Lord this morning. Would you stand and sing this final song?